The gospel reading today, our Lord tells us something that is rather striking. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to enter into life maimed or blind or whatever than to be thrown into Gehenna with everything you've got. Now, obviously, your hand cannot cause you to sin, nor can your foot, nor can your eye. So you don't have to worry about plucking them out or cutting them off. But the point that he's making is twofold that we have to recognize. How imperative it is to get to heaven. If it would be better to live your life without a hand or without a foot or without an eye and be able to get to heaven than to be thrown into Gehenna with everything that you've got, that tells us how bad it has to be down there. And I don't understand, quite honestly, why anybody would ever want to go there. There sadly are people who literally do say that. But obviously, the fact that you're here tells me that you don't want to go to hell. Praise God. But then the question we have to ask is, am I doing what I need to do to be able to go to heaven? And so we need to think about that rather seriously, because we can look at it and say, okay, if my hand doesn't cause me to sin, or my eye doesn't cause me to sin, or whatever, what does? My will. You can use your hand to steal something, but your hand didn't do that all by itself. You had to make a choice. You had to reach out your hand and you had to take something that didn't belong to you. What the Lord is telling us is look inside. Cut the stuff out. If we have a problem with stealing, for instance, we need to get rid of the dishonesty. We need to work on becoming honest and get rid of the dishonesty. Because usually if somebody's stealing, they're also going to be lying and they're also going to be trying to do all kinds of other dishonest things. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What do we do with our eyes? In a society like ours, there is so much filth. So for the men, if you're looking at pornography, if you're looking wrongly at women, that's what needs to stop. For the women, if you're reading those romance novels, those steamy things, those do exactly to a woman what the pornography does to a man. Women are disgusted with men, and rightly so, that they're looking at that filth, and then they turn around and read that garbage. And it's doing the same thing to women that the porn does to men. Cut it out. Throw that trash in the garbage where it belongs. It has no place in a Christian home. We're using our eyes to do sinful things. And we're going to say, but I like it. That's the problem. The Lord is telling you it'll be better to go to heaven without something that you thought you liked than to go to hell with what you do like. There's nothing that is good about these things. That's the problem, is that the temptation is there to have something good. The apparent good that we get is whatever excitement is there, whatever pleasure is there, whatever it may be. But then there's emptiness. That always follows. It's always the same. Just like somebody on drugs, they take their drugs and they feel they're high, and then they come down and they're lower than they were when they started. Remember when I was taking a class and they were teaching us about this, and they said with cocaine, they said usually what happens is people are really down deep and then they take this and it lifts them up above the equilibrium again. They feel good. But each time that they take it, it pushes them down further and it lifts them up less. And if they keep doing that, eventually it doesn't even lift them up to the point where they were when they started taking it. And now they're down so deep that they're addicted and they don't know how to get out of it. Where's the good? There isn't any. That's the nature of sin. There is something in the immediate that always looks good. But in the long run, it's going to leave you empty. In the long run, it's going to leave you in a worse condition than you were in to begin with. We look, for instance, even at what we hear about in the readings. The first reading, we hear Moses saying something to Joshua about, are you jealous for me? You see the humility and the charity of Moses. Would that all the people would have this. He wasn't upset about the fact that somebody else had this gift, but rejoiced in it. But somebody else thought that this wasn't right. So now we're looking at it and saying, okay, we've got jealousy in there. Or you look at what we hear in the gospel reading, the people who are rich. And it's not that most of us are rich, but sadly there are lots of people who want to be. I don't know why anybody would want to be, quite honestly. Because why? You can get more junk. Because it can be more fun, more exciting. When the Lord talked about the people who are rich, he said it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. You really want to be rich? If you look at it that way, let's just put it bluntly. Do I want to go to hell with all my money? Or do I want to go to heaven without it? Which is better? Again, we get addicted to this stuff, just like the other sins. And we need to be clear, because there are some of these people that have this idea that, just like Dives, the rich man in the Gospel of St. John, oh, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger to cool my tongue. Really? So because I had all this money and power while I was on earth and people thought that I was great, now that I'm in hell, they're still supposed to think that I'm great? No. Because they weren't great when they were on earth. But you see, we keep presenting people like this as being somehow great. I think we've seen in the last couple of years some of these really wealthy people. They're anything but good or great. Look at the list of people who wound up going someplace with Jeffrey Epstein, who had mansions and an island, and oh my goodness, his life, isn't that just what we would all want? Yeah, and look at what he did to children. And all these rich people that signed up to go and do it with him. Isn't that great? I want to be rich. For what? To lose my soul? No thanks. You think about it, the saints all said poverty. Every religious order, poverty, chastity, and obedience. And what do the worldly say? I want to be rich. I want to do it my way. I want all the pleasure for me. So now you can look at that, and we have all the media and all the ones presenting these people as the great ones, and we have the church presenting those others as the great ones. We call them saints. Now ask yourself which ones really are the great ones. We can look at somebody who's a billionaire, and in our worldly way, we'd say, that is the success. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, the only ones who are a success are the ones who succeed in getting to heaven. The only ones who are a failure are the ones who fail to get to heaven. So if we look at it that way again and we say, well, if I get all that and I wind up in hell, what good is it? Jesus talked about that. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? So for a few years of your life, people thought that you were impressive because you had a huge amount of money. And for the rest of eternity, no one's going to even know your name. Was it worth it? We need to learn to think in these ways. But we need to look a little deeper because, as I was saying, if your foot and your hand and so on can't cause you to sin, but we can look at specific sins that we can use our hand or our foot or our eye. But now we're looking at jealousy, and we're looking at greed, and we're looking at things like, what does that connect with? Your eye didn't cause you to be jealous. Your hand didn't cause you to be greedy. It's all inside. Isn't that, again, exactly what Jesus taught us? He said it's from what's from inside in a person's heart that comes jealousy and greed and lust and all those sorts of things that he talked about. That's what he's telling us to cut out. Look into our hearts and look at the areas of sin. And as I've told you many times, and I'll continue to repeat it, the only reason we're not getting rid of our sins is because we like them. If we didn't like them, we wouldn't do them anymore. And I know we'll all say, oh, I wish it was gone. Wishing it isn't going to make it happen. We have to make a choice. There was somebody who came and talked to me one day, and he said, well, I have this problem, and I keep falling into this sin. Said, I talked to my spiritual director, and he just looked at me and said, it's because you don't want it gone. So, oh, yeah, I do. I want it gone. No, you don't. If you really wanted it gone, you wouldn't do it anymore. You don't really want it gone. You wish it was gone, but you don't really want it gone. It's like, yeah, bingo. Doesn't that hit home? Do we really want these things out of our lives? That's what Jesus is telling us. I mean, if he's going to be so radical as to say, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, cut off your foot, he's really saying, look inside, dig this stuff out and throw it away. Get rid of the stuff that's going to keep you from going to heaven. We have found in our society a wonderful way, it's not so wonderful, but this wonderful way of rationalizing everything. It's okay for me because it's not as bad as what these people are doing. It may not be as bad as what someone else is doing, but remember, on the day of judgment, you're going to stand by yourself in front of Jesus. You and him. You're not going to be able to say, hey, but I wasn't as bad as some of these other people. Yeah, then what's he going to say? You're right, so you won't have quite as deep a place in hell? Yeah, that's not going to work too well. So we really have to look forward, because recognize what the devil is doing. He's always putting things in the immediate. This will be exciting right now. This will be fun right now. This will be pleasurable right now. It's always in the immediate. We have to learn to look beyond that. I tell people this in the confessional all the time. You've had enough experience of falling into the same sin. Now, when the temptation comes, look beyond the immediate and look forward, because it's about the emptiness you're going to feel. And you know it because you've felt it how many times? And if you can look ahead, then you can go, no, I don't want to do this because I know what's going to follow from it. Now we need to look even further and ask yourself, where do I want to spend eternity? Do I want to spend eternity in heaven or in hell? Because the choices that we're making today are the ones that are making the decision of which way we're going to go. If you want to go to heaven, live that way. Don't assume that when it comes to the end of your life, you're suddenly going to be repentant and you'll be okay. Maybe you will. Don't bet on it. People die in ways that they wouldn't expect, at times they don't expect. Yeah, maybe if you have cancer and you're living or dying a slow death and you've got time to think and to repent. What if you're in a car accident? What if you have an aneurysm? What if you have a heart attack? There's no time at that point to be thinking about it. So don't take the chance. Ask yourself what you'd teach your kids. We're not going to teach our kids, go out and be stupid, and hopefully by the time that you die, you'll have time to repent. You're going to tell them, don't do those things. And then we turn around and do them ourselves. So let's look long term. If there is something that is standing between you and the Lord, get rid of it. Bring it to the confessional first so that it can be forgiven and can be removed from your soul. But if there is some area of sin that's habitual in your life, start working on it. Start uprooting it. Start getting rid of it. Because you don't want that hanging on. You don't want that pulling you down. That's what we have to be doing. And if it's habitual, it may not be gone tomorrow. It may take a while, and it's going to take some effort. So again, when we look at what our Lord is telling us in the gospel, he's telling us to make some pretty radical choices. Cut it off, pluck it out. He's not sitting there saying, oh, if your hand causes you to sin, well, it's okay, you know, we'll understand. Your hand is weak and that's that. We get it. No, he's saying, get rid of it. Cut it off. So let's look deep and let's look forward. What am I stuck with? What am I attached to? Where are the desires? And where is it going to lead me? What's my goal? I hope it's to get to heaven. What do I need to do to be walking that path? And what's in my life that's leading me down the other path? Whatever is in the way, cut it out. Pluck it out. Get rid of the stuff. Put your focus on Jesus and live your life for heaven.